But the Creator Himself, when He closes any person, there is a dispute here. So my question is this is how it's supposed to be, that every nation has its own method how to reach the attainment of godliness, how to attain?
Yeah. Because to attain, it's possible to attain the Creator just in one thing, where a person annuls himself, his ego that separates between him and the Creator. And if he tries to work on it directly, if so, he has a question. How does he do it in practice? And this really depends on a person's nature. There is the main annulment called the method of Israel. This is what Abraham got. And there are methods that are called presents that he gave to the 70 nations of the world that were back then in Babylon. The principle is the same. A person has to cancel his ego, and to the extent to which he does, he starts feeling godliness.
Every nation has its own coarseness.
Every nation has a specific character of their oviut, and thus there is a difference. If they don't know or don't want to, or that they can always reach the wisdom of Kabbalah being the main method, and it can help everyone. That's the broad path ready for everyone.
There are nations who can reach godliness through mantra, mitzvot, or connection in the ten.
Yes, but there's a difference. To what extent do they do it, and what exactly happens with their attainment of the Creator?
Eventually, all of them will have to learn specifically the method of Kabbalah.
No, to study, no one needs to at all. Even what we study, we don't study it in order to know, but in order to draw the reforming light.
So some will do it through mantras or practical mitzvot.
A person who wants to cancel his ego, he can do it even without mantras or anything, like the example that I gave that we had with the Rabash, that this one person from Siberia wrote a letter that he feels such and such and so on. And Rabash said, yeah, from the suffering that he experienced, his ego annulled to that extent to which he has reached some kind of attainment to the Creator.
So when we teach, we should explain to people that there are such and such methods, and everyone should choose what suits him?
No, I don't think that this is our way. We don't explain that. We explain our method to them, and that's it. I'm not sending them anywhere. But along with it, if they ask, it's possible to say that the method of the Kabbalah, even though that it's, let's call it, the highway, but there are other paths to the different kinds of souls. And therefore it's possible, if you ask them, answered.
What's the connection between ascribing everything to the creator and the connection in the group? You keep saying that everything that comes from the creator we should attribute to him. So how is it related to the connection in the group?
Everyone works on attributing everything that personally happens to him to the Creator, that he has to cancel himself, annul himself, and once he reaches the annulment itself, then in it, or to that extent, he starts feeling the Creator. According to the form of connection, its character, its intensity. And in this, no one's equal. But everyone has work of their own here. And here they have to help each other. Especially, can help in the group because coming closer to the Creator in Judaism especially is and depends on the connection between people together or not at all. Whereas a priest, he has to bring sacrifice, meaning he has to come closer to the Creator in a different special way, and through different corrections.
What does it mean to attribute each and every incident to the Creator?
It means that I try to be locked on him, that everything I have in my mind and heart, it all comes from him. And all the time I make sure that I'm connected to him in such a way where all of my thoughts and desires come from him. He is the source of the He is the source of everything that happens to me.
And I cannot attribute some incident to the Creator if I'm not connected to the group?
At first, yes, as a game. But later, seriously, only by being connected to a group can I also be connected to the Creator? Because the group holds me, keeps me, as if not allowing me to fall into thoughts that are disconnected from the Creator.
Can it be said that the blows don't come directly to a person, but rather through the group?
The blows come to a person personally and also through the group. This is something that we yet have to scrutinize.
You said that the concealment leads to a connection with the Creator. So it turns out that if a person feels blow, if a person would feel it directly, the blows from the Creator, he would hate him. This is what I've heard. And if...
Of course, that's what Bala Sulam writes about it. That then he would have...
Yeah. If he would feel pleasure straight from the Creator, then he would be burnt out of shame?
Suppose. It all depends on a person's attitude toward it. If I want to connect to the Creator, and it's important for me to be adhered to Him, then it doesn't really matter what I feel along with it, good or bad, but the main thing is the understanding and feeling that I'm adhered to Him. And here, I have only this concern.
So it turns out that the concealment leads to a connection, but the question is which kind of connection?
The concealment does not bring the connection, but the connection leads me to the Creator. And the different forms of concealment that I try to attain Him and I can't, then here I search.
So what does it mean, revelation, if the Creator is always, if the Creator remains concealed always?
Revelation means the revelation of the connection between me and the Creator, and not the revelation of the Creator Himself.
And what's the difference between revealing the connection and the Creator? Can you give an example?
No, I don't have any examples here. Whoever looks, finds, understands. It's like Baal HaSulam writes that to be careful not to send your hand to Him. We never discover the Creator. But only a kind of only to the extent to which we match Him, we're similar to Him, where we discover His projection inside us.
So I don't reveal His essence, but only the forms in which He dresses in me.
Yeah, His forms in me. Therefore, it's called come and see.
And these are the forms of bestowal and love?
Suppose bestowal and love.
No. This is how it is expressed to people all of a sudden, in which a person, the Creator dresses in a person. This is how He reveals Him.
No, why? Love everyone. He tries. It's not a one-time thing. There's a path in which you develop gradually. And it's not that it just happens. Lots of efforts in order not to be disconnected from the Creator, first and foremost. You should try from this moment on to be in a state where everything that happens to me comes from Him, that it's really true. And you heard about this 1,000 times. So start now to keep yourself that this is how you want to be. To keep yourself this way internally, that everything that comes from Him. And what I feel and what I understand, try to all the time be alert, conscious of this fact.
What is it, Kalilut? Why don't we understand these notions?
Itkalelut is something so multifaceted, various, that it's hard to talk about it. We have lost the itkalelut in the sin of the tree of knowledge when the soul broke, and since then there is no itkalelut between us. We acquire it by arvut, bit by bit. And it builds in us, out of us, a complete integral system in which we discover the Creator completely.
Why everything is built in such a way? What's the logic behind it, that all this concepts, itkalelut, arvut, connection, chibur, even people who want to try and do it, they don't understand how to. Why is it made this way? It's not that you told us and now we can do it like mantra. Like people who do it like a mantra, they do 1, 2, 3, they listen to one sound and then they can do it. That's understood. It's hard. That's clear. You have to invest time to annul yourself and believe in it. But here, even if people are ready to do it, they don't know what to do. Ask people here.
Because they want to do it in their ego and it doesn't work. But it works only on condition that they rise above their ego. And I'm repeating again, run only after one thought and fact that what awakens in them each and every moment now comes from the Creator. That's it. Comes from Him. Meaning, I want to feel and all of my feelings in each and every moment and all of my thoughts and everything there is and everything that happens in me, in short, I want to feel that it all comes directly from the Creator. Not even to feel, but to be in this fact all the time, not to disconnect from that fact. And this is the only thing that I think about. This is the only thing that I'm afraid of losing.
Why, if I don't think about what's going to happen to me in the future, that means that I rise in degrees. You said so in the lesson.
If I don't think about myself, if I don't think about myself, then it's called that I can think about the Creator. And therefore, I'm in the correct state. There can't be two bosses in the world, either I or the Creator.
What does it mean not to think of myself?
It means that I'm not concerned with myself. I'm concerned only with how not to detach from the Creator every moment, forming, shaping me. It's called Ose Maase Bereshit.
A person goes to work, he takes care of his family. What does it mean not think of himself? He thinks of himself, he feels everything.
Right, correct. And along with that, he wants to feel that each and every moment and whatever happens, it is the Creator that does it.
That means that he's not thinking of himself?
It means that he thinks that it's the Creator that gives him all of these things and not he himself.
What is this number of 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva who hated each other?
Well, there are many commentaries. I don't know how to put it. It's 12 times 2. That 12 is Chabad Chagat Nehi. It's 4 times 3. It's a complete paltsuf.
And what is 1,000?
Well, 1,000 is the degree of Chokhmah.
So we're not talking about quantity of 24,000 students.
No, no. It never talks about quantity. It's always about the degree. And they fell from that degree.
So you can say that they were Kabbalists, people of spiritual attainment.
Sure they were. They were the students of Rabbi Akiva. They were in attainment. But because their will to receive grew, they stopped to connect with one another, and so all of this, their wisdom disappeared, and it's called that unfounded hatred came into the picture, and that's that.
And that means that they died?
Yeah. It means that they died, that they couldn't use the light of Chokhmah in order to bestow. And everything started to work in order to receive, and they died. That's called death.
What's the difference between oneself, a knee of a person?
And these are things that I can explain. I can't explain it in simple terms. A person who works, he feels these discernments inside of him.
look at it.
Let's not get into it. It'll come out like philosophy. And
what attitude from the ten do I restrict?
That I came in order to serve them, everything else I restrict. Because in them is the Creator, and actually, this is my goal.
So the way I relate to the ten, when I see them, I just want to serve them. Everything else, I don't take from them, except for a restriction.
Right.
You say that the students have to be in the lesson every day, but on the other hand, our organization is meant to bring the wisdom of Kabbalah to the people. And you say that Kabbalah is not for the people, it's for people. And we can see that this is how it happens. It's not for everyone.
True, on the one hand, this is how it is. On the other hand, we have to be directed toward the general correction. Like time demands, and therefore the spreading or even the openness of the wisdom of Kabbalah to anyone who wants it is called Kabbalah Lam, Kabbalah for all. Like Bala Sulam wrote that we want to publicize it to the general public.
How to respond when a friend gets up during the lesson and speaks on behalf of the society that they're on descent, they're like this, like that. What should be the response of the rest of the students who might not feel this way? Does a friend has the right to say something on behalf of all the students?
The attitude should be simple. These things have to be forbidden all the more during the lesson. Could be that there is some kind of problem in the group, and then at some other time, not during the lesson for sure, there is a time, suppose once a week, where anyone can stand up in front of the group and tell what he thinks is still not okay, and we can.
So there should be a specific time for this.
Specific time, and only that. But during the lesson, it's forbidden.
So a friend can stand up and say, I see that everyone now are on a descent or falling asleep, and I think that now we have to sing a song.
This could be, because he's not criticizing, he wants to benefit the situation. So I have to understand, is it correct or not?
He says everyone are in descent.
Maybe. Look, with all these scrutinies, we'll get nowhere, obviously. Anyone can tell you now 1,000 different sentences about justifying himself, and yes, and no, and why. So they have to already start understanding from the lessons, from everything, how to relate to these things. Time will do the work. You can't now start judging it by a person who changes on the inside. He becomes subtle and gentle on the inside, and he starts understanding, this is right, this isn't. And if his attitude towards society is correct, he will not be wrong.
It's not a clause that you pass through the courthouse and you want to write it down as a law. It's an emotional law.
So it's gonna clear, that's clear to me, but what should be the response of the friend? Should talk to him or what?
Yeah, not with him, but everyone together need to speak. In what way should we correct this state? First of all, the fact that it appears to me that they are in a descent, maybe I'm in a descent, and so on and so forth. There are many things about that.
Uh, Everything has to come from inner consent and not by coercion, but we keep working against desire. So how can you explain that?
If I work against my desire, then I work against my desire. It's in coercion. And that's how it's written. First in coercion and then by desire. I need to coerce myself, as we said, from morning to night. I need to try and see that what is happening in me is coming from the Creator. He is the first to all my thoughts and desires. And this is what I wish to, how I wish to hold myself. That's the main thing.
And what does it mean that there's no coercion in spirituality?
There's no coercion in spirituality when we get to the middle line. Then we feel how much these things are actually part of our free choice.
There's no contradiction here?
There's no contradiction. We're not in spirituality. We're not even talking about us. There's no coercion in spirituality. Where is your spirituality that you can say there's no coercion about it? Everyone are like animals, and they're already talking about such exalted things above our nature.
No coercion, does it mean that we, with our desire, supposedly try to connect?
So you're trying. What are you getting out of it? Is it spirituality? They tell me that spirituality is above my will to receive. So I need to kill my will to receive. I need to slaughter it. I need to put it to death, to eradicate it from the world, right? Right. So is this coercion on the will to receive? My dear will to receive, my precious, yes. But there's no coercion in spirituality. Right. If you get to a state where you want to cancel your will to receive by yourself, and you will pay dearly for it to happen, then you'll see it's not coercion. Rather, you yourself are asking for it to happen. But to approach spirituality with coercion on the will to receive, you cannot. To annul it, yes, but to enter spirituality only in the condition that you want to be the one who bestows. So there's no coercion.
You said a few times before that in our world you can do everything. It doesn't influence our spirituality. So the question is, why is it then forbidden to do certain things, like hunting, you said in one of your shows? How does it affect spirituality in other things that are forbidden to do, on the one hand? On the other hand, nothing we do in this world will affect spirituality at all. So how can you settle it? On the one hand, it is said that nothing we do in our world with our hands and legs, there is no choice about it. It doesn't affect spirituality.
It influences because what we're doing is already in our desire. We're not doing anything unless it's in the desire. If I do something, it means that I want it to be. Maybe they tell me, if you won't do it, we'll kill you. But nevertheless, I decide that I need to do it, I have to do it, and I do it. So what I do out of my own desire.
You said that it is forbidden to hunt unless... it is forbidden to hunt for the sake of pleasure.
Yeah, because I have to enjoy this world by hunting some animal? What are we talking about here? First of all, we're not talking about regular people. Regular people can do whatever they want. We're talking about people who wish to advance towards the revelation of the Creator. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the method for revealing the Creator to the creature in this world. So those who wish to come closer to the Creator, to discover Him, for Him, then it's written for Him. I'm not going to someone who's in Siberia or Alaska, Australia, that he should not hunt. He could chase a kangaroo and catch it. We're talking about people who wish to come closer to the Creator. We're only talking about those. I don't care about the others. They can do whatever they want with themselves. They're all as animals. But if you want to come closer to the Creator, then I give them laws of nature. Creator is nature. Elohim in Gematria, nature, Hateva. If we want to come close to Him, if we want to know, then I explain to them. Like in every science. I don't want to hear about, I don't want it, maybe we can do it differently, why is it like this here and like this in another way elsewhere. I give you the laws. Everything else is on the user, end user. You want to do it? Good. No? No. But these laws, we cannot complain about those laws. You can't say anything about them. Those are laws of nature. Kabbalists determined that you don't want it. Don't accept it. But that's what's written about it in the wisdom of Kabbalah. I'm also not acting as an attorney for those laws to defend them. If the Creator did it this way, the Creator did it this way. What do you do after that? Either you want to do it or you don't.
Let's say two fights in the group are having a fight and they don't talk to each other. Is it true that the society has to know about it? Let's say there are two people who are not talking to each other in a certain ten, and the whole group has to know of it and put pressure on them.
The whole society needs to know, but mostly that 10, that if it's happening in that 10, it's a problem. It's a problem that, and they won't reach anything.
No, let's say they're in different 10s, and the same 10, it's clear, but they're from different 10s, and they don't talk to each other. And the moment the group is large, it's not so much of a problem, but should the whole group know their names and...
I don't know about... names, I don't know about the means, shaming I hear. No, I know it's affecting everyone. But to a smaller extent, the important thing is in that 10 where it's happening. But let's say it's between several 10s, we also need to see why is it. Maybe it's a matter of something professional, doesn't have to do with spiritual work. I don't know.
So how would you take care of it? They don't talk to each other. We don't even want to know why, but...
I'm sure they don't talk to one another.
No, they don't talk to each other.
No, you have to disclose it to the whole group because they harm the entire group. That's why they have to disclose it. And the group needs to... but the problem is they harm the general group. This harm goes back to them.
The wisdom of Kabbalah is not meant for humanity, but only for the Rosh, for the head. So why do we publicize the method of connection?
We are publicizing the method of connection to promote it for those interested in the wisdom of Kabbalah, because those who are, to those who are all spread throughout humanity. But if they have a desire to come close to us, like it was with Onkelos, Rabbi Akiva, and other people throughout the generations that reached very high degrees. So why others can't do it? that even among the Jews, few are those who want to reach the Creator. Also among the nations of the world, but in principle, the prohibition for studying the wisdom of Kabbalah that was kind of came to an end during the time of the Aries, Baal Salam writes.
Why do you say that everything depends on Israel and that you hang no hope on any other nation? It seems very elitistic. Even if it is so, why talk about it?
I'm speaking the truth, regardless of whether it sounds pleasant or unpleasant. There are many unpleasant things I'm saying about the nation of Israel and the nations of the world even less than that, because the nations of the world are not obligated to perform any corrections. There's a whole matter of certain commandments, but about the people of Israel, I speak very conclusively with the revelation of all the deficiency, because they have to try and bring about the beginning of the correction. And later the nations of the world will connect to them. Baal Salam writes about it in Messiah's Shofar, the last generation, and other places. Giving of the Torah, Matan Torah, the Arvut. People of Israel have to be as a conduit from the Creator to all the other nations. And in order to be a conduit, it's made of representatives of all the nations that assembled around Abraham, and he connected them into this pipeline for the people. That's why there's no elitism. We just have to speak openly about what's happening. Our time doesn't leave us enough, too much freedom to wait to do this way or that way. Rather, in the coming years, we might see a very dramatic treatment of us by the nations, by the whole world, and toward all the people of Israel. That's why I cannot stop myself, hold myself back, and make calculations, you know, softer calculations about, you know, psychological calculations, politically. There's no time or place for that.
So even for dissemination,
for the sake of dissemination, we need to disseminate everything openly.
How to understand the example that Rabash bought the most expensive cheese?
We talked about it. He gave me this example that being humble is not when a person is satisfied by little, and it means that he's eating garbage. Rather, humility means how much he makes himself humble in the work of the Creator, because he makes himself smaller and reveals the Creator that's clothed in him and determines all the thoughts and desires in him. This is the only place for humbleness. During the time of the temple, and before that, we had people of attainment who were very rich.
Asking about the Kabbalist Maharal from Prague. He did this this golem, and they haven't heard you speak about it. What can you say about this?
It's all nice tale, fairy tale, tall tale that the Jews composed during very harsh times. And it gave them a little bit of hope. There is such a... an image, a character, I don't know how to call it, that would come and help the Jews, like in a kid's fairy tale. But not that there's any truth to that.
But there's no, it's in the Torah, there are examples of it.
No, we have to relate to those things as simple things. There's no secrets. The secret is not revealed because you're not worthy of revealing the secret. That's why it's a secret for you. But for others, it's not a secret. Cancel your ego, and in the place where the ego dwelled, it will be revealed. And this is the meaning of revelation of the secrets of Torah to the person in attainment.
What does it mean that everything is clarified in the thought?
The calculation a person makes in how to connect to the Creator, to give him room for his complete, permanent dominion, this is called a person working in thought. That's why everything is going to be clarified in the thought. I don't need to work on that.
I'm asking you, you had many opportunities to be with Rabash, to give to Rabash in many opportunities. What do you recommend to us? How can we only have the chance to come to the morning lesson. By coming, then I bestow, and otherwise I can't. I don't see my friends. I don't always have time to connect to Zoom, to the conferences. I want to bestow upon the group. Where do I do it?
You needed to look for how to have your meetings three times three times. You have to see how to make them more efficient. I'm not getting into it. I want you to work on that and determine. I belong to the morning lesson, just as Rabash would relate to people who come to him in the lesson. I was next to him. That was kind of fate. That's one thing. That's one thing. The other thing is that people who are active the right way, write articles, make programs, do programs with me, then they have additional contact with me. I'm not closing myself off to anyone. Talking about thousands. Thousands, depends what. There are a few people who work with us that I don't hear from them, although I want to hear from them. This is the infamous English department. And there are those who work, like Leah Dondish, who works abroad, and I feel them very closely. I work with them together. Accordingly, depends on the help that they're getting. Not that I'm deciding and I'm dividing the help in this way and that way. Rather, people who try to come close to me and do this common work with me, then that's how it's... happened, but people who don't, they don't. People from Salt Lake City, how can they bestow? What's their expression of bestow? They come and only listen, hear a lesson? Rav, what do you mean, just listen to a lesson? What, you can't. They can come to contact between them. Moshi, well, they also they hear an article. They speak. Is this bestowal? Rav, they need to organize a 10. What else? Moshi, what is the expression of bestowal in the 10? The expression of bestowal is that they constantly and make sure the connection between them will be as one man in one heart, to be a 10 as one. This kind of connection. Why are you blaming Jews? They don't have choice. Only Kabbalists have choice. Specifically because Jews have a kind of a choice and other nations don't. Meaning yesterday, we had Jews in India. So for the first time or heard about Kabbalah, they have choice, Rav. Yes, they have free choice. They heard it. No, they can come closer. And before they heard it, before that, Creator didn't arrange for them. You can say what happened in previous incarnations, what's happening in general.
Can. אנחנו מדברים על האדם שהוא בא אלינו, נתקע בנו.
We're talking about a person who comes to us, who met us, decides that he wants to do it, wants to be in contact with us. How are we organizing, making room for him, that in this room he will develop? We're talking about that. Those who are in certain places. And that the Creator didn't bring him to us, then leave it to the Creator. What are the arguments? Why are you complaining? Everyone can come and say, how come the Creator didn't arrange for me contact with you 10 years ago? Why didn't I grow up during? Wasn't I born during the time of Bala Sulam or Rabbi Shimon? Is this an argument? Rather, from the moment you're given, you need to take it and grasp it, grab it, and never let go until the Creator is revealed, to demand His revelation. But again, according to equivalence of form, that you express that equivalence of form in the 10, and by making sure that you never disconnect that, and that every bit of every thought and every feeling that comes to you is awakened from there's nothing besides, and the Creator is the first. From this action of revelation, I want him to be the last, that I aim everything with him.
Why should a person be afraid of not being able to study or reach the goal? Rav, because reaching the goal is a person's ego. It is an egoistic goal. And when the opportunity to study will be taken away from him to advance, that's something that's true. I don't want to... Well, the way it should be is that I don't want to reach any goal other than wanting to be certain that the Creator is directing me and that I feel how He activates me. That is called, there is none else besides Him, with respect to me. To this revelation, that's what I want to reach. That I constantly try with great efforts to feel that He does that to me. Yes. What is this statement that a person can say to a person that this is enough for you and then he turns a person off? Rav, a person needs to be afraid from that the Creator can turn him off. Not that he's going to die, that he'll remain as a beast.
Is there such a thing as private attitude from a creator to a person?
Yeah, a person needs to think about it.
What does he
have to think? Like he was as a beast, and now also he can be, and it can be even worse. Because then he didn't know there is something, and now, not that he's being detached, that he's being put into the same life that he has, he doesn't remember anything. But he knows that there is a higher life, but that will be, he'll be pushed away and not be given that anymore.
Is there such a thing that a person leave, harms the group and they can come back? Leaves and then come back?
Yeah, of course, you know, there isn't anything that's eternal. Repentance, as it says, it changes everything.
Is there such an action a person can do in the world that the Creator will never forgive him? Is there such an action? What is an action that the Creator never forgets to a person, never forgives a person?
I don't know. I can't think of any. All actions are done by the Creator and not a person. And all the transgressions a person does, it's from not wanting and not agreeing with the Creator to do this. What is this correction? To be prepared to reveal the Creator in every single action that we want from adhesion to Him. I adhere to Him and I do the action, and then this action seems to me is different than being adhered to Him, and the gap between this and that is called revelation of the upper world.
Can you betray the Creator? Is there such a thing?
Betraying, well, everything that I change, the good inclination with a bad inclination, the evil inclination, is called betrayal. Yes.
A person who acquired the ability to bestow to the other without the anything in return for himself, how does he benefit society?
How does he benefit? Benefit by thinking of everyone, not of himself. By not thinking of himself, he's thinking how to advance us towards the Creator. He's working truly for the benefit of the public.
Is it possible that he's not thinking about himself, but still not thinking about the other? So, okay, what is it? How does it help the others? He's not thinking of himself, but he's not advancing others.
The young one is beneficial to the society, so the grown up is beneficial.
So he's in bestowal but not benefiting society?
Bestowal in order to bestow, that's all he has.
Unfounded hatred, unfounded love are only terms with respect to attaining the Creator, and in our corporeal world you have to behave normally? How to understand such concepts?
We don't have to worry about this. If we're talking about a worker of the Creator, he should be concerned with only one thing: to make sure that what he feels in his mind and heart, that everything comes from the Creator. There is none else besides him, and only to maintain this. And when one expands this term, then he begins to find there all different kinds of conditions. This article of Shamati is the primary one, none else besides him, and all the other ones are maintaining that same state, that article.
So, unfounded hatred is revealed only in the group, in the 10, not towards other people you work with or something. To them, it can be a regular hate because they've done something. But unfounded hate, such feeling,
unfounded hatred is revealed as a result of spiritual work. All the other kinds of hatred are as a result of corporeal work, from the ego, from the will to receive. And unfounded hatred is as an addition of the will to receive that the Creator is upbringing a person to raise him to a higher degree, and he becomes a greater egoist from that, and that addition is called unfounded.
Each one flowing according to his own flaws is only in the group. It doesn't belong to what the Creator shows him.
He who flaws does it with his own flaw. Does it happen to regular people? Of course, to everyone. This is from within the ego. A person determines this. But who? Can he determine that he's flawing, that he's seeing flaws from within his own flaws?
These flaws a person sees only in the ten, or he can see them in the rest of the world as well?
He sees them in 360 degrees around. And that's all his ego. That's what he identifies. How does he determine that it's flaws? That he still perceives it, that this perception is flawed.
People are always shocked when we teach them. You know, we teach them, each one judges according to his own flaws. They say, what, Hitler and everything. I will feel at some point that I'm guilty of that, I'm to blame, that
yes.
It's me.
Yes, yes. Don't answer him. Don't answer him like that, but...
That's what I'm saying. Maybe in the ten, you discover flaws in the ten, or you see it in the world, all the horrors in the world, the Kabbalist ascribes to himself, that's in him.
Yes, yes, because it's his.
Why is it because of him?
It's his clear. I don't see anything outside of my circle. I don't see anything. What I see within my clear.
Meaning, what's happening in the world?
If I perceive, doesn't matter if it's in the world or not, it can be just a bluff, a movie, a film, an imagination. But if I feel it, then it's mine. Then it's mine. How could it be otherwise? Where is this taking place? Where is your radio transmitter? It's inside of you. In it, you feel, you... perceive it according to your qualities, you decode it according to your discernments.
How does it work out with how people blame Jews for not doing the work? It means that each one judges according to their own flaws.
Right, right.
So if I'm a Kabbalist and I blame others, it means that I'm wrong.
Of course, they also write it this way. Yes, that they're to blame. If they still see everything not at the end of correction, then they see this and they discover to what extent they are not corrected. They write about it too.
So you can complain only to yourself?
No. Complaints for perception of myself. Complaints that the Creator will give me more strength to see myself in a more corrected state and be able to thank Him, to bless Him, that too. But other than that, there is a time of internal and external that I need to care in practice for the whole world to reach a state of correction, every single one. That's the matter of the clear's application. What I have in me, I pass it on outwards. I still treat people that are outside of me and not standing in me. I need to care for their correction. And there are more things here that we can't perceive correctly at this point with our current perception of reality. We need to connect like this and like that. Then this duality, it falls into place. It becomes this single image. But what is this? Not a superficial, a flat image, but one that includes all of the world in it.
How to increase the thoughts for working without any benefit or reward to ourselves. What kind of actions do you recommend that we do to discover that the intentions are for ourselves? That is a very slippery thing.
Sorry again, Moshe.
You said that we are missing the opportunity to labor, to do something without a reward for ourselves. It's stopping us. What do we need to do? What kind of exertion to discover that my intention is only for myself? As a result of what can we discover that?
Again,
as a result of what do we discover the intention in order to receive?
As a result of what is the intention revealed in order to receive?
A person discovers he can't work.
It's as a result of the sin of the tree of knowledge that we feel ourselves in spirituality, in spiritual forces.
How to discover it in the work in the ten, the intention to receive? With what actions can a person discover the intention, his intention to receive for himself?
Only when he tries to come to bestowal, then in comparison to that, he finds that he's in the will to receive. Nothing else happens. Like with the friends. Start working in order to connect with them, and then you'll begin to feel how you're opposite from that.
What does it mean to steal from the will to receive something and to pass it to bestow?
To steal from the will to receive something and pass it to bestow, well, when I try to do actions of bestowal, then it's mainly in the ten, because in all the rest of the things I confuse myself, and when I do so, then I find how I'm not worthy for this. I don't want this. Everything can be just not that, and so on. There is no greater hated action than being connected to others and being concerned for their well-being, for their advancement.
I have to do a kiddush to Shamir's.
My voice is also already out, so. Rav, I have a question.
How can we support each other in this trip?
We go out, we talk. Because of the bus, then we can't really. Usually when we tour, then we spoke throughout the drives. Imagine a drive of 5 hours, and the whole drive we were like in it, you know, talking about things for 3/4 of an hour, and then a break, and then again. So it turns out a few hours a day, right? So because the bus is really noisy and the cars tooting and beeping, so it's not possible, but all the rest, like we're talking about now, and each one is on a trip, but they need to keep working. That all of the thoughts and desires that awaken in him, they come from the Creator, first of all. Now, the question is, they come from the Creator, then how do they fit into this? How do they respond to this? So here is the question. But at least there's none else besides him, that all of the desires and all the thoughts are from him. Now, because it's from him, then a person already starts treating it differently to what he feels. Okay?